Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska won't raise its sales tax on alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana, and today is Indigenous Peoples Day. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, October 9th, 2017. Following a failed ballot measure, the city of Unalaska won't raise its sales tax on alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana. City officials made the announcement Friday after canvassing about 70 outstanding ballots from the municipal election. The final count showed 53% of voters rejected the city council's proposal to hike the tax from 3 to 6%. The measure was defeated by just 35 votes. Councilors argued that the extra tax revenue would help offset the cost of city services strained by alcohol and marijuana consumption, such as emergency response. The city council is expected to certify election results tomorrow night. Unalaska's Sea Grant officers have rescued a northern fur seal pup found stranded on Front Beach. The pup has been sent to Seward's Alaska Sea Life Center for care because he was found far from his rookery and had little chance of survival on his own. He's not the first pup Unalaska has rescued this year. In March, the Sea Life Center took in a yearling ringed seal from Unalaska. Normally found on the ice, she was out of her range and having trouble regulating her body temperature. 7 months later, the seal has made a full recovery. Like all stranded ice seals found outside their natural range, she won't be released into the wild. The Sea Life Center is waiting to hear where she will be placed, but says her future involves lounging by pools and helping people learn about her species. A magnitude 6.6 earthquake struck the western Aleutians yesterday. The U.S. Geological Survey registered the quake 37 miles east of Baldier Island and 70 miles deep. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day in Alaska, and celebrations are planned across the state. In June, Governor Bill Walker signed legislation officially recognizing the holiday on the second Monday in October. Alaska is the second state to replace Columbus Day by refocusing the day on Native cultures. Colleen James is helping coordinate activities at University of Alaska in Juneau, along with local tribes.
Come and join us for some good conversations about decolonization and the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day.
Activities are also planned in Bethel, Sitka, and other communities. The United Tribes of Bristol Bay has called Pebble's new conceptual plan a wolf in sheep's clothing, another attempt at bribery, and the latest in a long list of lies. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more on how another longtime opponent sees this week's news as more of an investment ploy than a serious attempt to put a mine into permitting.
Rick Alford is a Republican former state Senate president and these days spends a lot of his time working to protect the PFD. But he also has been one of Pebble's staunchest opponents and has worked closely with Trout Unlimited, United Tribes of Bristol Bay, and others to block this mine and others from being developed in the Bristol Bay watershed. He looked through the new information from Pebble on Thursday.
My first question is, how are they going to, before the end of this year, actually apply for a permit? That's the core promise of what was announced. And there's a lot of slides, a lot of promises, but that's not a plan.
Halford says what's being presented now is certainly more interesting than some of the back-of-the-pizza-box plans from the past, but he's still skeptical the company is even serious about taking the project through. He thinks this conceptual rollout is aimed at investors, not regulators and not the public.
I mean, that's their real experience is more mining in the stock market than mining in the ground. I mean, the big mining interests have walked away from the project at the expense of hundreds of millions of dollars. So they're looking for another large mining interest, and anything they can do to make the project look viable is to their advantage.
He's also suspicious about whether the public is seeing the same presentation that investors are, especially after Northern Dynasty Minerals CEO Ron Thiessen was quoted in Denver recently, talking about a project that will last for many generations, not just the 20-year project Pebble says it will take into permitting.
It's very difficult to see how you could ever enforce a small mine limitation. I mean, you have a combination of multinational interests that it would take to develop it, and it's not going to be, we're going to do this partly. Once you start, you have opened and empowered a mining district with infrastructure, and it's going to go as far as they can find resources.
Pebble says that any increase in the size or scope of mining activities on the deposit is certainly possible when the first effort wraps up, but all new efforts will require separate and extensive permitting. But there's no illusion by anybody that there's a lot of copper and gold northwest of Iliamna, and several companies, Pebble included, are interested in someday going after it. Looking through Pebble's new basic concept, Halford says he is interested to see more details about a few of the ideas, and he's still very skeptical about some of the other claims.
One of those being that you can somehow separate the impact on the Nushiak drainage and the Kwijak drainage, when in fact the deposit sits in a saddle that really is straddles both of them, and it's pretty hard to separate when you have subsurface exchange between drainages.
Halford says the ball is now in Pebble's court to put an actual plan together and file a permit application, something he doesn't think may ever happen, let alone by December. He says the opposition to Pebble is growing and clear in its mission. Halford was heartened to see Governor Bill Walker come out opposed. He suspects more announcements like that will be coming rather than the other way around. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
A Superior Court judge in Anchorage today ruled Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott wrongly denied a ballot initiative aimed at strengthening state protection of fish habitat. The ballot initiative was organized by the nonprofit Stand for Salmon and has drawn opposition from a wide range of industry groups. Mallott rejected the ballot measure in September. The state says that in practice, the measure would prioritize protecting salmon habitat over other potential uses of state land, like mining or oil development. If enacted, it could complicate efforts to build projects like the proposed Pebble Mine. At a hearing last week, the attorney defending the ballot initiative argued it isn't aimed at prohibiting development. Judge Mark Ridner took Stand for Salmon's side. He wrote it's, quote, pure speculation to predict the impact of the initiative. The state can appeal the decision to the Alaska Supreme Court. And that's the news from On Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.